I'm speaking today with Alma Lara, who is a candidate for HISD Board of Trustees here in District I, District 1, I guess. Alma, first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
Why am I running for the office? I'm running for the office because I want to make a greater impact in education. As a principal, my scope was the school community, and I feel like being on the Board of Education, I can make a greater impact in the broad Houston community, in the Houston district, HISD.
Do you believe that HISD does enough to empower principals to make, you know, to have a positive impact on their own schools? Or do you think HISD needs to be more of a firm hand on principals and force standards?
I think that principals were more empowered before the concept of the executive principals. And my last, I believe, 2 years, maybe 1 year, as principal is when that concept came in. And I think with that concept...
Okay, can you explain a little more what you mean by executive principal?
Executive principals work from the different regions, and they have they oversee certain schools. And so they oversee certain schools, and basically they oversee those principals.
So it's like you report to them in some sense?
Correct, correct. And so I see that principals were more empowered before with the executive principal. I think that it's good that it has more overseeing the schools and what's going on, but I still think that the administrator and that campus should have the very last say-so and what goes on in that school, knowing that community much better than the executive principals.
Now, you had made the decision to run before the current incumbent trustee, Natasha Camerani,
correct,
decided to step down.
Sure.
Give me your assessment of Ms. Camerani as trustee and how you think you would be like her or not like her as her replacement.
I know Ms. Camerani since she was elected. Gosh, I don't know. I know that I've talked to her a couple of times about things that I thought, you know, should happen at Sam Houston High School that I wanted to see done at Sam Houston High School. That's my community high school. I spoke with her on occasion about that. I haven't spoken with her very much. I know that she, oh goodness, I don't know. She visited Lyons Elementary, where my daughter teaches. And she wanted to know more about how the school is successful, always trying to get input, what variables were in place that were making students have greater academic achievement.
I mean, you mentioned Sam Houston High School. It was, you know, that was a school that had been suggested to be closed, and that was not popular in the district. Can you speak a little to that, and why do you think there have been the recommendation that it be closed, and what has been done since then to address that?
Well, the recommendation to be closed is because it had years of being unacceptable by the state. But that was always because of a small subgroup and a small group of students in one content area. Because looking at all the other scores, unfortunately, that, you know, all we see is that the quantitative picture, you know, that those scores and that title. But if you look at the other scores, he was making significant progress in language arts reading and science and social studies. But that was not taken into consideration in the accountability system. You know, I know that was an area of controversy because it continued, that little subgroup continued to keep the school from moving up. Now that the school has been separated and you have 10, 11, 12 as a Sam Houston and a ninth grade center, I think it helped make some necessary changes and so that the school did better, you know, separating the two.
Obviously, one of the bigger issues that HISD has in front of it right now is the replacement of the superintendent, Abe Saavedra. As I interview you today, the HISD board is interviewing candidates, or has been interviewing candidates. Possibly by the time this is published, they will have announced who his replacement is, since they want that done by August 31st. Two questions I have. One, they've been conducting the search in secret, or at least as in we don't know the identity of the potential candidates. Do you agree with that approach, or do you think it should have been done more openly?
I can see both sides. Because I think that definitely, well, but those that sit on the board represent the community. So I hope that those board members do take into account what the community wants for a superintendent. I can see the other side, that there are some superintendents that would rather not be known that they are applying, because this may have an impact where they are presently, or as a school district that's looking to hire someone that's really good out there, wherever they are, they might say, oh, we'll give you more money so you can stay, so you don't go there. So there's always two sides, but as being a member in the community, I certainly would like to know at least which ones they are interviewing, because it's not necessarily knowing, you know, the final ones or which one. I would like to know at least the finalists.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Give me your assessment of Dr. Saavedra as the HISD superintendent, and you know, what should his replacement's top priorities be?
I think his top priorities should be, I'm going to start there, should be to address the dropout issue. And that's an issue that, one of the reasons that I want to make a difference in the community is because, you know, the Hispanic population keeps growing, and the dropouts for Hispanics also keeps growing, and what's going to happen to our economy, you know, if we don't intervene. And I believe that there hasn't been that much done in the area of dropouts. Also, I know lately there's been a lot out there as far as the school buildings, a lot of work has to go back and be redone because some work possibly hasn't been done by certified workers, and we end up spending more money because we have to go back and fix the problem, and it's also safety of children. So, and I'm aware that the last bond program that barely passed, there was a promise that that there would be more more transparency, more apprenticeship programs, and other things that just didn't happen. You know, more people at the table, and I know the controversy that I'm aware of the controversy that's out there as far as promises that were made during the bump and they didn't happen. Now, the things under his administration, I think the college bond program, the college bond certainly has helped improve in that area. It was already a program, a concept that was in Kettleson Elementary, the schools that we were in, the Davis Critical Team and four other schools under the Project Grad program, all in Reagan and Whitney and Tim Houston. Anyway, and the district kind of said, oh, this is good. So they, you know, adopted that concept for the entire school district, which is good. It focused on that. But there's a lot of students that are not going to go in that track because they don't have an interest in that track. I've always been a believer that we need to prepare all of them for that track, even those that want to trade, because if they want to trade, whether it's a plumbing, electrician, other trades, they still need 2 years of college. They need a strong math background. They need a strong science background. And so we still need to do a better job of getting them those skills so that they're successful in college.
Well, you mentioned the dropout rate, and that certainly is an issue in HISD. What strategies should we be adopting to try and combat that?
First and foremost, I believe, having the elementary background, I believe that we need to put more resources, and I know what you know what's out there, that you know the money follows the students, but I believe resources are important, and I'm talking about resources, financial resources, that would give us more also the human resources to work with students at the elementary level. That's where the dropout begins, at the elementary level, when students are not on grade level, because how can they get to sixth grade? The greatest dropout is 6, 7, and 8, and be 2-3 years behind in reading. And so, they're having a catch-up 2 or 3 years. So if we, at the elementary level, do a better job in making sure that they're on grade level or above when they leave fifth grade, I think that's one area that we need to work on. But elementary schools need more resources to address those students that need more reading and math. And so I strongly believe that we need to do more in middle school. If that's where they're dropping out, because I know some are dropping out in high school, but we have a lot dropping out in middle school. What are we doing in middle school to make sure that they're not dropping out? I think we need to have more of the same programs in middle school, whether it's vocational or stronger academic programs, that they keep them interested and engaged and say, I want to stay in school because when I graduate, this is what I want to do. And I'm not sure we're doing enough in the middle school to address the students' interest, what they're interested in, so they get disengaged and, you know, eventually disinterested and drop out. I would like to see, and this is probably more in high school, the district has partnerships with Houston Community College. The students get dual credit if they're in a Houston Community College, dual credit college, and high school. But it's all academia. It's all in academics. What about getting partnerships with Houston Community College in trades, that they're going, that they're not only getting the academics, but they're also getting an area of auto mechanics or electricians, as I said earlier, those areas that they're interested in, and there are many, I'm sure, carpentry, the carpenters, so that they, when they graduate from high school, they have not only college credit, but they have skills, whether it's through apprenticeship programs or any other programs, that when they graduate, they can go out and have a good, decent paying job, and that they stay in school because of their interest and engagement. So, and again, it's a matter of collaborating with the community and putting more resources perhaps there. But that middle school, that's where we also need to find other ways to engage them, keep them interested.
The reports have come in that, you know, grading the school's performances at mm-hmm. the state level and the federal level, and they don't necessarily agree with each other. Can you speak to me a little bit about that? Why is it that some schools are rated better under the state system and not as well under the federal system, and what should be done about that?
Well, the state system has, of course, the accountability through tax, and the federal system, No Child Left Behind, has a AYP, and annual yearly progress. And the reason that some recognized schools don't need AYP in reading is because they may be having exemptions, or the students may not be performing at a higher index level in tax. We don't see greater numbers of commended in tax. So the more students that are commended and that are at the higher end of that index level in the tax, Lexile level. And for the state, it looks good. But if they're not growing adequately in reading for the federal program, No Child Left Behind, they're not making that same progress. And we've had schools that are temporary and they didn't need AYP because they have too many exemptions, or because the students, the majority, when you have, let's say, 90% of your students are passing the test, the school is exemplary, but of those 90% that are passing, if you have like 90% of those barely passing, that means they have, their reading skills are not strong. So that's something we need to work on.
The the issue of rewarding teachers and teacher bonuses has been contentious in HISD in recent years. Talk to me a little bit about how we should be handling that.
I have two daughters that are teachers, and they loved it when they got more money. I think that, and we've had, you know, I've had 35 years for the district, and we've always had some kind of program for rewarding teachers for progress. So this is, I think, like the third or fourth one in my 35-year tenure with the district. I think that what is positive about this one, but it came a little late. It didn't come the first year that the park was initially brought forward, is the data piece. Before Aspire, I, as a building administrator, felt very strongly about data. We had to know data, and we had to know how to use it. The data drove our instruction. And the district has made a lot of progress in that. Now, the teachers, the schools, even the parents now have access to data. And it's showing some, you know, 1 year, 2 year progress that the students are making. And that piece wasn't there before, the initial year that Aspire began. So I think that if that continues to be, I can see where it's effective, because the data should drive the instruction, and the data should help us see whether we're making progress, doing value-added instruction, value-added results.
Did you vote for the school bond referendum in, I think it was 2007?
Yes, I did.
What is your opinion of the progress that HISD has made in implementing projects that were promised under that bond referendum?
I know that some things were promised, that one of them was apprenticeship programs. I really had hoped that it would have included some of our students, HISD students, that would have had opportunities to work in apprenticeship programs. That hasn't happened. And I know that there's an issue about paying the salaries above minimum wage. That hasn't happened. And so there's a lot of controversy. And then the work that has been done, and it's not just the schools that have been built since then. Other schools that have been built in the past, Kettleson Elementary was built. We opened it in 2002. And there were issues there in the school. So I wish that there were that the district, HISD, had someone that is overseeing and is inspecting what's being done to make sure that the job is being done right the first time, that we're not having to go back and fix it.
I mean, apparently, according to a story that was in today's paper, there are some parents who had apparently parents of different schools who had been told by Superintendent Saavedra that certain things would get done as part of this bond referendum that, you know, are kind of being held up now as HISD is trying to fill his position. Apparently they're not wanting to deal with some of these things until they have a new superintendent in place. Can you comment on that?
I don't see why the business as usual can't continue. You have an interim, and that interim, I mean, it's going to be selected by, I'm sure, approved by the board and recommended by the superintendent. So I don't see why things can't just continue. New superintendent comes in, and you have to go to the community. Yeah, the community. We wouldn't even have education in schools if it weren't for the community. And I just think that the district needs to be more accountable to the community. And what was told to the community that it was going to be done.
Currently, HISD board meetings, I believe they are televised on public access, but HISD has been criticized over the years for not being more open about the way it conducts its business. I think there's live streaming of it now on the internet, but it's not archived. What should HISD do to be more open and accountable to the public?
Well, certainly having them videotaped and putting them on the Channel 18 access channel helps the public. Personally, I like to know what's going on, and I would think the public would also. Not everyone can attend board meetings. Those that are interested will want to know, and then those that are not will just continue. But I think that we need to be more responsible to the public and what they want, and accountable.
When people go to vote in this election in November and come to this race, why should they vote for you and not one of your opponents?
They should vote for me for lots of reasons. First of all, my years' experience, I think, makes me a strong candidate for the position. Not only the 35 years, but I continue in the field of education. I am a part-time adjunct professor at the University of Houston downtown. I teach multicultural education, critical issues in urban school districts, critical issues in education, and I also teach language arts and reading methods to student teachers who are ready to go out in the field. My whole life has been education and doing whatever it takes to provide a quality education to students. I don't believe that in potential. I believe that we're all always growing. I don't even know what my potential is. I'm very close to getting my doctorate, and after I do that, there'll be other things that I'll be seeking that are beyond that. So I think sometimes we tend to put a ceiling on potential without realizing that all of us are always growing and learning. And I'm committed to quality education for all children, committed to quality preparation of teachers, because I believe that if we want a quality education for children, we have to have quality teachers. And how do we build quality teachers? By quality professional development. Larry Lessott, who is leading right now the Effective Schools Correlates, he says, the fuel that's going to take us to 21st century as far as education is professional development for teachers. And teachers make it or break it in the classroom for children. So I believe I, as a principal, I put all my effort, whatever it took to help teachers be successful. Because if my teachers weren't successful, if they didn't provide a quality education, then the children didn't have a quality, if they didn't have a quality academic achievement. I think they should vote for me because I believe education is a community effort. I'm a product of growing up in a community, a very impoverished community, who had mentors in my life that said, you can overcome poverty through education. And because we had the support of those mentors in the community, and it was Wesley Community Center, my family, we were able to overcome all those factors that may have kept us from going to college and getting a degree and being more productive citizens. So I strongly, strongly believe that a community can make the difference in education, and that we in the schools and the districts need to work better with the communities in issues and solving problems.
Okay. Amalara, thank you very much for talking
to me. That's all? Oh, but I want to say so much more.
Well, glad that I gave you a good job, and I thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh,